Hello, Adore Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, and sent by God to your house with the gospel, wherever you're at throughout the world. Well, welcome all in Zimbabwe that have tuned back in to my ministry and my teachings. Steady Miserere and your family and all that are with you. Love you and God bless you. Steady is an unusual man. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then, amen. 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 In 1892, the year that the Supreme Court declared America to be a Christian nation, God visited a man in southeast Kansas and poured out the Spirit of grace on him. Amen. He was a rancher, a cattle rancher. Amen. And he was a Methodist. Amen. And his name was Benjamin Wesley Young. Amen. Following the visitation of God to Benjamin Wesley Young, God poured out his spirit on New Year's Day in 1900. In Topeka, Kansas. And following that, the Spirit, Holy Spirit came down from Topeka to Galena, Kansas. Amen. To a storefront. And there, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Then, in 1906, amen. 1906, amen. Amen. Azusa Street took place, which brought forth the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostals of America. Amen. But there was this man and those that the grace of God was poured out upon in southeast Kansas in 1892. And my family, the Davidson family, was closely associated with Benjamin Wesley Young. He was a strong Methodist, a rancher, and had a strong opinion of Methodism. Amen. And I believe that perhaps Kathy Lee can read something about him. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right now. Okay.
I'm going to read it from the History of the Bible Holiness Church, and it's a book written by Cecilia Loft Douglas and Ruth Smith Taylor. And I'm going to read the first page of the biography of Benjamin Wesley Young. It says, Benjamin Wesley Young was born January 25, 1855, near Kirksville, Missouri, to Solomon and Nancy Young. He passed away January 14, 1920, at the age of 64. He moved to LeBec County, Kansas, with his parents in 1871. In 1875, he homesteaded a claim 6 miles east of Liberty. His desire for great possessions dominated him. Sounds like somebody I know. He married Sarah B. Pitts in 1874. She died in September of 1875. He married Junie Oakleaf, who only lived a year and a half after their marriage, and their only son died at a year old. August 6, 1884, he married Mary Elizabeth Burkhart, a valiant Christian, and they had 4 children. Brother Young was converted at age 21, joined the Methodist Episcopal Church in Angola, Kansas, and was a member in good standing for 15 years. He writes, most of the time I was a backslidden condition in my heart. Many times would weep and cry because of my sins. At the same time he was becoming more and more a successful rancher and an influential citizen of the community, he was highly respected. In 1892, Brother Rollins came for a revival at the Emmons Schoolhouse, 2.5 miles from the Youngs. He stayed with brother and sister George Gregory. Ben Young recalled, and this is Benjamin writing, my wife said we must attend the meeting, but I did not want to go. I did not want to hear holiness preached, but I consented and we went several nights. After the sermon, there were several complaints from the class leader and some of the members, and I was ready to grab at a straw. I arose in a congregation and told him that we were Methodists and wanted the Methodist doctrine. I was at a fever heat, and the old man was stirred in me, and there was quite an uproar. He said, the pastor said, I am preaching John Wesley Methodism, and if you knew the truth would make you free. My wife came to me and said, you are doing wrong. But the old man was thoroughly aroused. The preacher said, let us pray, but I was not in a poor condition to pray. Everyone went home that night, but Ben Young did not sleep. And he continues to write, that was the darkest night I ever saw. The next morning I arose and told my wife, I cannot live in this condition. It seemed that hell had opened up before me, and I could see my lost condition. And I told my wife, there is only one way out, and I have to go and ask that preacher's pardon. The devil said, don't you go. And there was a great battle in my soul. But I broke loose, and I got my horse, and I started. As quick as it was to settle to go, I melted like wax. It was 4 miles I had to go, and this strong man in me cried as a child. And I rode along. The devil said, take a chew of tobacco, and it'll ease your conscience. Then I cried aloud, oh, God, deliver me from this tobacco devil. And it was gone, then and there. Never had any more desire for it. I had been trying to quit for 10 years. I went on. The closer I got, the faster I went. I was running for life, eternal life. I ran to the house where the minister stayed, and I knocked at the door. Sister Gregory opened the door, and I asked if Brother Rollins was in and told her to tell him to come out. I did not feel worthy to go in, but she kindly told me to come in. I started into the room where the preacher and Brother Gregory were sitting, and I fell to the floor and cried for mercy. They all prayed for me, and I felt easier. I said, let us go on with the meeting. He said, all right. And I went through the rain from house to house, crying and telling them that we would have a meeting tonight. After notifying all the members, Brother Young went home to eat and fed his cattle. And around 4 o'clock that afternoon, the Spirit of the God came on him. And he leaped and he shouted and he praised God. And he writes, it seemed as if everything was shining around me. And I said to my wife, hurry up, let's go to the meeting. She said, supper was ready. And I said, I'm eating of the bread from heaven. We went to the meeting and the house was full. I thought I loved that preacher better than anybody I'd ever seen and was anxious for the meeting to commence. I wanted holiness now, and I sat with listening ears, and my soul said, Brother Rollins, tell the truth as strong as you can make it. I was taking it all in. The altar call was made. I did not go weeping, but was offering my body a living sacrifice. I was alive, and I had a blessed testimony that I was justified, and I never failed to give my testimony. And that's where I'll stop.
That the grace of God fell on that man. It's like the grace of God fell on Noah. And you will see, and I've already heard some about my family, how that grace that fell upon Benjamin Wesley Young, a cattle rancher in the state of Kansas, not too far from where I was born, maybe 50 miles or less. And that grace fell upon him, and that grace spread to my family. You will hear Kathy read some more about Benjamin Young and about members of my family. Kathy?
I'm going to read two more excerpts. I'm going to read the chapter from the Door of Hope Orphanage. And then I'm...
That's out of the same book.
That's out of the same book.
Good.
And then I'm going to read a small excerpt from a gentleman you knew, Wayne Rogers. The beginning of the chapter. In 1919, Brother Benjamin Young, minister and president of the Fire Baptized Holiness Church, also a stockman, a rancher, and farmer in Montgomery County, Kansas, had a burden for an orphanage in Montgomery County. A suitable farm was located about 1 mile of Independence, Kansas on 10th Street Road. The Page Farm consisted of about 210 acres, a two-story, seven-room house, a large barn, and several additional outbuildings. Purchase price was $25,000. Brother Young mortgaged his own farm to purchase the Page Farm. At the Fire Baptized Holiness Church annual camp meeting at Cherryville, Kansas, in the late summer of 1919, it was decided the church would support the orphanage. A board of trustees was elected, which included Brother Levi Burkhardt as chairman, Brother James McIntyre as treasurer, Sister Jessie Root as secretary, and 9 other members. $5,000 was raised to help pay the debt. Brother Young never saw the opening of the orphanage. He was injured in a car train accident on November 18, 1919. And died January 14, 1920. However, he was able to attend the first Thanksgiving Day dinner at the orphanage in 1919. Sister Nellie Johnson recalled this day in November 15, 1952, Flaming Sword, quote, the men gathered there to gather corn from the fields. A number of the women were there to prepare dinner for their husbands. Sister Morgan had charge of preparing dinner. They had no tables or chairs. The floor was their table, and they knelt on their knees to eat and gave thanks to God for the home and asked God to supply all the needs. Brother Young requested that the saints would gather every year at the home on Thanksgiving Day to give thanks. Prior to his accident, Brother Young had asked Claude and Neva Dotson of Sarcoxie, Missouri, to move to Independence, Kansas, and farm the orphanage property. They loaded all their furniture on an A-frame, which he had used to carry wheat, and traveled by horse and wagon for 4 or 5 days. They arrived at the orphanage on December 31st, 1919. Brother Dotson began farming with a team of horses while his wife assisted with the new home for orphans. During the first 3 years of operation, the Dotsons lived in the big house with the matron and the children. The Dotsons then left and moved back to Missouri. Now later on,
the Dotsons was,
I'll read this last paragraph. It says, in 1923, a 28 by 28 784 square foot house with a dirt floor basement that provided space to separate and bottle milk was constructed for $1,439, and the Dotsons were asked to return to the orphanage and live in the house and take charge of the farm.
Neva Dotson was my aunt, my dad's older sister, and her husband, Uncle Claude, lived to be 100 years old. When I returned from the Navy in late 1955, that neighbor, who had Parkinson's disease, lived in Independence, Kansas. She asked my earthly father, Dad, Lyle Davidson, if I would come see her. I had great respect of some of my relatives. That neighbor was one of them. I spent an entire afternoon talking with her at her home in Independence, Kansas. And she knew that I had been a hospital corpsman in the United States Navy. And she wanted to know if I knew anything about anything, any kind of medicine that would cure Parkinson's disease. I loved Neva. She was Dad's oldest sister. I loved her and Uncle Claude, Kathleen. Amen. And I left Independence grieved about my aunt. Because I knew nothing that would help her. Medicine still doesn't know. Still doesn't know. The grace of God on my family that came from Benjamin Wesley Young, that Neva and Claude worked with the man. Amen. That grace that fell on him in 1892 also came upon Neva and Claude Dotson, and then upon Doyle Davidson and Water of Life Ministries. That grace covers the world, a live stream. Oh, how I thank God for his grace and what he has done for one rancher, one cattle rancher in southeast Kansas, who was a Methodist and who was very opinionated, but had a heart that God could bust wide open. I am so grateful to be a part of this. This group of people never spoke in tongues. I suppose this is a night, huh? Oh, I suppose I better move up here before the reader. Amen. Last evening, Kathy D. read a testimony of Elliot Hodge. Amen. It was a great blessing for me to be a part of this family, the Davidsons. I was most undeserving of all Davidsons. To receive this grace. My father, Lyle Davidson, my mother, Alba, my sister, Dorothy, her husband, John, both in heaven, all four in heaven, amen, and others were so concerned about Doyle, because they thought he had no desire for Jesus. And many people knew me because they knew my dad, my granddad, who built Redwood Church, the second church built by that group of people, still standing today, a nice structure. It hasn't fallen, and it won't. Amen. Amen. And they were greatly concerned that I'd go to hell. Oh, they were afraid that I would go to hell, Bob. Is that you, sir?
Yes, sir.
I love you.
Amen.
Thank God.
They didn't know that I was born again. They had no idea that this black sheep was born again. Amen. They all wanted to save me. Who is this? Huh?
Terry.
Oh. Terry, they all wanted to save me. Every darn one of them. Oh, if we could save Doyle. Who's here? Empty chair, but not here. Two friends, two women, two ladies. They thought I was sure going to hell. They didn't know who I was, and many haven't, and many still don't. Just a servant of Jesus. Amen. Those days were difficult. They were. Because I did not want to disappoint my family. I loved them. They didn't know that I loved them. They thought if I would just join with them, Paul, oh, love you, young man. God put you with me. They thought if I would just join them, I'd be saved. No. No way. Jesus Christ saves you, not people, not denominations, you know? No, denominations can't help you. Only Jesus can help you. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I started Water of Life Ministries, by the will of God, Bob, not by the will of Doyle. He was a veterinarian. Loved horses more than God. Amen. Oh, there's some repentance going on in my heart. And I'm sure you can tell it. Amen. God leadeth the repentance. Amen. But when this ministry started in 1980, and then in 81, I go on radio 5 days a week. In 84, television 1 hour every Sunday. My dad, who loved me, but he didn't know Jesus as well as he should. And he was determined and said that I would preach the gospel. Amen. And when I start preaching the gospel on radio, well, that's not good. Then television, and that's worse. That's worse. Oh, where does he get his money? Where does he get his money? And what is he preaching that he's got money? They didn't know that I was preaching the gospel because they didn't have a revelation of it. And they didn't want me to go to hell, you know? Well, anybody that loves a human being doesn't want them to go to hell. Amen. Right?
That's right.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. So, one day, my dad, my earthly father, said to me, where you get your money? Are you here?
I'm right here.
I said, God causes his people to give it to me. You know? And my dad was afraid I was involved in some kind of a con game. Amen. Thank God. I said, Dad, you know me better than that. But he was in unbelief, you know. He could get healed. He could get healed, you know. He could get healed, but he couldn't believe that his son could believe God for television, radio. They didn't want me to go to hell. And I wasn't going to go to hell. He was relieved when he found out I wasn't involved in something silly. And that later he said, Doyle, I wish I'd have believed God like you do. I said, Dad, please. Had it not been for you and Mother, I wouldn't even be here. I think Miller's here, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A difficult evening, but necessary.
Yes, sir.
And when I was a young boy, a man came, and his wife came to Redwood Church, that building that my grandfather, Luther Davidson, built, along with his boys and son-in-laws and others. Still stands today. Amen. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm not sure where I was going, but I'll get there. Amen. Amen. Again. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. His name was, he came in his wife, but he was a pastor of Redwood Church. And he came from Kansas. His name was Paul E. Smith. And he pastored our church, and he lived a half a mile south of the Lyle Davidson family. And they became our friends, and we became theirs. And Paul was a very pleasant man. A pleasant man. Had a good spirit. Intelligent man. One that studied all kinds of things. And he pastored Redwood Church. And he left Redwood Church, but he never left his property, which was a small acreage. I'm not sure how much. Maybe 20 acres. Just south of where Lyle Davidson's family lived. And he started growing wheat. Became a wheat farmer. And he leased all of his land. And Paul Smith, when he was a young boy, I think 17 or so, a tree fell on him in the timber and broke his back. And he was unable to do a lot of physical labor. He walked with one leg kind of ahead of the other. But he was a gritty man. He was a decent man. He was really a nice man. And as a young lad, a lot of strength, a lot of willpower, a lot of vigor. He would hire me when I was a teenager to plow his wheat ground. Then he'd get an adult to do work the ground in the daytime. He became a wheat farmer. And he started growing peaches. He had a peach orchard. And I worked picking peaches, worked in his, and one time I wasn't helping my dad. And I worked for Paul E. Smith. He was I'm not judging anything. He was a real gentleman, okay? And thank God. So when I joined the Navy, left, then started Water of Life Ministries. Paul Smith, I have to say, loved Doyle Davis. I have to say, he had the love of God in him for Doyle. And when I started Water of Life Ministries, he, along with all of them, were very concerned. Very concerned. Is Doyle gone astray? And one night, Pat, who's in heaven, Patricia, my first wife, 1952, Kathy Myers' mother, and I think Kathy was there. We're at Mother and Dad's house. And Paul and his wife, Malva, came. And our house was open to them, and theirs was open to us. We didn't have to call for an appointment to say hello. We were neighbors and friends, you know? And Paul and Mova drove by and saw the car sitting there from Texas. And they stopped. They came in. And it was God's appointment. And they said, well, we saw Doyle's car was here. We wanted to say hello. Well, of course, I loved to see them. I liked them. They were friends. So Paul was a student of the Bible and knew a lot about it. And he and I ended up in my mother's kitchen. Both of us stood up for almost an hour. And in mother's kitchen, that's where a lot of people go, but they don't go talking about Jesus, you know? And Paul E. Smith, you're going to hear a little more about him in a little bit, and we talked doctrine. We talked Bible doctrine for about 45 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Where the heck am I? I'm out of line. I'm sorry, Bob. And we talked doctrine. We talked about forgiveness of sins. We talked about being born again. We talked about being saved. We talked about being redeemed. We talked about being justified. We talked about being sanctified. We talked about being righteous. And we talked about faith. And we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which he did not experience. Amen. And speaking in other tongues, which those of you that know me know that I do. And we talked. Now, this is the love of God on my mother and my dad. And when we finished talking, went into the family room, there sat mother, dad, Paul's wife, Patty, and I think Kathy. There may have been someone else there. And he said, Bob, he said, I cannot find one thing wrong with this man's doctrine. With this man's doctrine. You know, I didn't need to hear that. My mother and dad did. You know that? After all, I wasn't a preacher. I was not a preacher. Amen. I appreciate it. That man who knew the Bible really well would say, I find, you know, Pilate said he found no fault in Jesus. Yep. Paul Smith said, I find no fault in this man's doctrine. And Paul Smith had the Old Country Church radio broadcast for years. A man that I know, I will see him and his wife Mova in heaven.